A few days ago, we celebrated the Feast of the Precious Blood of Jesus, and the month of July as a whole is dedicated to this beautiful mystery. So I wanted to talk today about what this devotion means and how the precious blood of our Lord is applied to our souls. The idea of the precious blood is not so much a reference to a physical substance as it is to the price of our redemption and the fact that our Lord shed every drop of his blood for our sins. Ever since the beginning of time, the shedding of blood has been the means of appeasing the wrath of God. Moses sprinkled the Jews with the blood of calves and of goats, and he said, "This is the blood of the testament." He said, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." So this action and the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament in general were a prefiguring of the death of Christ. Someone might wonder, but Christ shed his blood in his passion, and the people who were there were sprinkled with his blood, but we were not alive at that time. So we were deprived of this great grace. But this is completely false, because God in his infinite wisdom came up with another means by which he could shed his precious blood for us every single day and apply it to our souls to cleanse us from sin. St. Augustine tells us that the blood of Christ is shed for sinners in the Holy Mass. This is so simple that it's self-explanatory, but St. John Chrysostom says, "Further, the Lamb of God is immolated for thee. His blood flows mystically on the altar, and the blood contained in the chalice is drawn for thy cleansing from his sacred side." He means that the death of Christ is offered to God again in every Mass in reparation for our sins, especially for the people who attend that Mass. That is why it's so important for us to attend Mass as much as possible. Now, in the consecration, the priest says, "This is the chalice of my blood." But he doesn't only say that. He goes on to say that the blood of Christ will be shed, it says, for you and for many, for the remission of sins. So just as the first part of that statement is true, the second part is also true. The chalice then contains the blood of Christ, which is certainly shed for the remission of sins. This is a very beautiful thought and a great mystery. And we see the love of God for us poor sinners in this great mystery. We have to realize that our Lord not only shed his blood once on the cross, but sheds it for us every single day in every Mass for the forgiveness of our sins and for our salvation. So everyone who assists at Mass has his soul sprinkled with the blood of Christ and receives immense grace and blessings. Of course, it takes an act of faith to believe in this mystery, but we have to believe in it as part of our faith. And in order to encourage us in our belief, God has worked many miracles, even to prove to us that he is truly present in the Holy Eucharist. There was one time in the 13th century in Cologne, there was a holy woman who lived as sort of a hermit in a cell that was adjacent to a church, which had a little window that looked into the church so that she could hear Mass every day. She was so holy that the devil couldn't figure out how to lead her into sin, until one day he tempted her not to believe in the consecration of the precious blood in Mass. And this woman fell into this sin, and she even told others that she didn't believe any longer that the wine was turned into the blood of Christ in Mass. But God had compassion on this poor woman. And one day there was a priest saying Mass in a different church in that same neighborhood. And he accidentally knocked over the chalice after the consecration and he spilled the precious blood onto the corporal. You can imagine how shocked he was at this. This is any priest's worst nightmare. But he was even more shocked when he saw that what was spilled had the appearance of blood. After Mass, he tried to wash this red stain out of the corporal. The corporal is a little square piece of linen that the Holy Eucharist rests on during Mass, but this stain would not come out. And he realized this must be a miracle. The following Sunday, he went up into the pulpit and he held up this cloth and he showed it to the whole people and told them what had happened. But the priest thought that God had worked this miracle to confirm the faith of someone who had a doubt about the Blessed Sacrament. So he set out trying to find anyone who didn't believe in the Holy Eucharist that he could show this corporal to, that had a miraculous stain on it. So he went around showing this corporal to everyone he could find, until finally he showed it to this woman living in this cell next to the church. And as soon as she saw the stains of the precious blood on the cloth, she fell to the ground and with great sorrow and repented of her sin. And she asked forgiveness from the people that she had attempted to lead astray from the faith. And she professed her faith again in the blood of Christ, in the chalice. When the priest went home, he tried one more time to wash the corporal, and he put it in water. And as soon as he put it in the water, the stains immediately disappeared. And then when the hermitess heard about this, she also understood that God had worked this miracle just for her benefit, for her conversion. So we know that the blood of Christ is shed in the Holy Mass, but we have to see also how it is sprinkled onto our souls and what effect this has when this happens to us and we participate in Mass. St. John Chrysostom says, "Thou seest that Christ is immolated in the Mass. Thou seest that the people are sprinkled and marked with the blood from his veins." He is describing the spiritual effect of Christ's blood being applied to our souls. And what happens when the blood of Christ is applied to our souls? As it says in the Apocalypse, it says, "Jesus Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." So it is, the Bible tells us that we are washed from our sins by the blood of Christ. In the Mass, we come to our Lord as our mediator with God and our intercessor. He is the true high priest who makes intercession for us. Saint Mary Magdalene of Pazzi tells us that when the blood of Christ is applied to our souls, it gives our souls such a great dignity that it appears to God as if we were dressed in a very expensive robe. It makes our souls so beautiful that we would hardly believe our eyes if we could see the beauty of this robe that is placed on our souls. There was another, and this assumes, of course, that we are in the state of sanctifying grace, which I'll get to later, but if we are not, then the Mass gives us the grace to repent of our sins. There was another Eucharistic miracle in the year 1263 in a city near Rome, in which there was a priest saying Mass once, who secretly did not believe in the presence of Christ and the Holy Eucharist. As he was saying Mass, at the elevation, a great miracle took place. When he raised up the host, blood began to pour out of it like a shower from heaven. The priest was terrified at seeing this. But the people could also see it from the pews, and they knew immediately that it was the precious blood. And they prayed to God for this precious blood that they saw coming from the host to cleanse them of their sins. After Mass, the priest tried to hide the corporal, which is now covered in blood stains. But the people all came back to the sacristy and asked to see this cloth. And the priest told them what he had done, and he was terribly sorry for the sin he had committed, the sin of heresy. And this miracle was so famous that the Pope himself heard about it, who was Pope Urban IV, and he summoned this priest to Rome, to the papal court, and he told him to bring this miraculous corporal. The priest came and knelt in front of the Pope and showed him the stained cloth. And immediately the Pope and all the cardinals with him fell on their knees and showed homage to this sacred relic. The Pope built a glorious church where this miracle took place in honor of the precious blood, and he ordered that every year on the anniversary of this miracle, this cloth should be carried in procession around the church. But what happens in a visible manner to this priest and this congregation happens invisibly every time Mass is said. When the priest raises the sacred host and the chalice, the blood of God comes down from heaven and it washes the souls and minds of everyone who is present. And it's not just, it's not just the good people in the church who receive this benefit, but even the wicked who are there also have the precious blood applied to their souls. So for the just, first of all, the precious blood purifies them more and it makes their souls more beautiful in the eyes of God. It makes them more zealous in doing good works. It strengthens them in virtue, especially in time of temptation. And it reduces the force of their temptations. It makes them do as much good as they can also. And then for sinners, people in the state of sin, when the precious blood is applied to their souls in Mass, what it does is that it leads them to conversion. It softens the hardness of their hearts. It corrects their evil inclinations. And it offers them God's pardon and forgiveness. Even if the person rejects this offer and remains hardened in sin, though, the precious blood continues to plead with God for that sinner, and it holds back the arm of God's justice, and it puts off the punishment of his sins to give him time to repent. This is how great and powerful the precious blood is, especially when it is shed in the Holy Mass and is applied to our souls. Now, it's something very important and very necessary for us that we have the precious blood of Christ interceding with God on our behalf and asking him for mercy for us. All the sins that we are committing all the time, especially our serious sins, are constantly crying to God for vengeance and stirring up his anger against us. In Isaiah, it describes all of our sins as a cry that asks God to punish us. So how can we appease the anger of God? How can we turn away his terrible vengeance? It is only the blood of Christ that can atone for our sins. Even if this terrible cry of our sins that rises up to heaven is so loud, still the voice of the blood of Christ asking for mercy for us is even louder. In fact, it is almighty because it is the voice of our Lord himself. And when our Lord hears the cry of the blood of Christ, he is appeased in his anger and he forgets his wrath, assuming that we repent of our sins, but it obtains for us the grace we need in order to do that. In fact, the saints have said that if it weren't for this constant voice of God asking for mercy for us through the Mass, the world would long since have been consumed by fire in the wrath of God. Someone might wonder, how can this cry of mercy rise up to heaven in every Mass and we don't hear it? The answer is that this is something mysterious. When Abel was murdered by Cain in the book of Genesis, God said to Cain, "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth to me from the earth." And yet certainly no one heard any physical sound. So if God could hear so clearly the voice of the blood of the innocent Abel, how much more will he hear the blood of Christ, which is shed for us? In the Mass, our Lord places his wounds and his suffering and his precious blood before his Father, and all the pain and the shame that he suffered in his passion, and how he was unjustly condemned and tortured, and the great patience that he suffered all these things with. And he offers all of this to his Father to ask for sinners the grace of conversion and to turn away God's wrath and have him show mercy to sinners instead. It is impossible that God the Father could ignore this appeal from Christ that he makes in every Mass. In fact, God is much more inclined to show us mercy than to punish us. As the Church tells us in the liturgy, it says, O God, whose property it is always to have mercy and to spare us. And St. Peter tells us in his epistle that the Lord is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should return to penance. So the blood of Christ is very powerful in obtaining our forgiveness. But we have to accept this forgiveness and repent of our sins and receive God's forgiveness. The blood of Christ is also an odor of sweetness in the sight of God in every Mass. In the offertory, when the priest offers the chalice to God, the words that he says in this prayer say, We offer up to thee, O Lord, the chalice of salvation, beseeching thy mercy that in the sight of thy divine majesty, it may ascend with an odor of sweetness for our salvation and for that of the whole world. Amen. This odor of sweetness is powerful enough to blot out the stench of the sins of the whole world. But as long as we repent of our sins at the same time, the Mass will obtain for us the grace of repentance. But if we refuse that grace that the blood of Christ obtains for us, we will remain in our sins, though, and we will be condemned to hell. But anyone who is struggling with sin, especially serious sin, should remember this and should attend Mass frequently and as fervently as he can in order to have the precious blood applied to his soul, to obtain for him the grace to turn away from his sinful attachments and to turn to God instead. God's grace is powerful enough to overcome any evil inclination we may have. But we have to ask for his grace and tell God our sorrow for our sins and our firm resolve to turn away from them and practice virtue instead. We have to have trust in God, but we also have to do everything in our power to avoid the occasions of sin and resist any temptations that come to us, and use the means of grace that we have, especially the Mass and the sacraments and our daily rosary. So let us attend Mass as often as we possibly can and have our souls washed in the blood of Christ and be purified and strengthened in the path of virtue. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.